talk to someone closer to the line of supply, I think. You don't even know where he operates from, where his production labs are. Somewhere in the city, that's all. You're sure of that. The first time I encountered Dreamfuel was... I trailed off, not wanting to tell her too much about how I'd been revived in Hospice Idlewild. Not on Yellowstone. I can't know for sure, but I've heard that it isn't manufactured in the canopy. Which leaves the mulch? I suppose so. She squinted, the vertical pupils of her eyes becoming thin slivers. Who are you, anyway? Now that, I said, would take rather too long to explain, but I'm sure you've guessed the essentials. She nodded at the controls. We can't circle forever. Then take us to the canopy. Somewhere public, not too far from Escher Heights. What? I showed Chantrell the place name Dominica had given me, hoping that my ignorance of the nature of the address, whether it constituted a domicile or a whole district, was not too obvious. I'm not sure I know that place. My, but my finger is growing tense. Rack your memory, Chantrell. Failing that, there has to be a map somewhere in this thing. Why don't you look it up? Grudgingly, she did as I asked. I hadn't known about the existence of a map of the canopy, but I figured such a thing had to exist, even if it was buried deep in the processor of the cable car. I remember it now, she said. The map, glowing on the console, looked like an enlargement of the synaptic connections in part of the human brain, labeled in eye-hurting Canadian script. But I don't know that district too well. The plague took on strange forms there. It's different, not like the rest of the canopy, and some of us don't like it. No one's asking you to. Just take me there. It was a half hour's travel through the interstices, skirting the chasm in a long undulating arc. It was visible only as an absence, a circular black occlusion in the luminous sprawl of the canopy. It was ringed in the lights of the undomed peripheral structures, like phosphorescent lures around the jaw of some monstrous benthic predator. The occasional ledged structure was visible deeper into the moor, down for a depth of a kilometer, and the city's enormous tap lines extended even deeper, sucking air, power, and moisture, but they were hardly visible at all. Even at night, a constant dark exhalation rose from the moor. There it is, Chantrell said eventually. Escher Heights. I understand now, I said. What? Why you don't like it? For several square kilometers, with a vertical extent of several hundred meters, the forest-like tangle of the canopy transmuted into something very different, a jumbled agglomeration of freakish crystalline shapes, like something magnified from a geology textbook or a photomicrograph of a fantastically adapted virus. The colors were glorious, pinks and greens and blues picked out by the lanterns of dugout rooms and tunnels and public spaces threading the crystals. Great layered sheets of greyish gold, like muscovite, rose in tiers above the topmost layer of the canopy. Brittle turquoise encrustations of tourmaline curled into spires. There were pinkish rods of quartz the size of mansions. Crystals threaded and interpenetrated one another, their complex geometries folding around each other in ways no mind could ever have purposefully intended. It almost hurt to look at Escher Heights. It's insane, I said. Hollow, mostly, Chantrell said, otherwise it could never hang so high. The parts which broke away were absorbed into the mulch years ago. I looked down, under the looming luminous crystalline mass, and saw what she meant. Blocky, overly geometric concentrations of mulch, like a carpet of lichen,